You guys can take a seat, that's all good. Yes, thank you everyone. God's so good. I suppose I can pray for you as well, if you'd let me. Lord, thank you for Simon. Thank you for his teaching ability that you've graced him with. Lord, I just pray that your spirit will speak through his words and his preparation to receiving hearts, that you would fill him now, come Holy Spirit, to be part of this and the leading, guiding force of this sermon, Lord, that we'd, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead and move as Simon speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, good afternoon. So as Holly said, we're continuing our theme on Holy Spirit. And last week, Vincent shared with us about the fruit of the Spirit. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the gifts of the Spirit. And just to throw in a bonus thought, for if you're thinking of coming to camp, camp is a really good place to practice the gifts of the Spirit and have a go. Once again, the gifts of the Spirit is a really big topic. We're just going to be scratching the surface today, but I hope it piques your interest. There's a number of passages we could go to for this, but we're going to stick with the classic. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 12, and we'll bounce around a little bit. But let me read to you first from 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith, by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing, by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kind of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So I want to pose a question to you. I'm not going to answer just yet, but I want it to kind of sit through the whole message. And it's this: what is it that you bring to church? So I'm going to start out by just giving a bit of an overview of what spiritual gifts are and what they aren't. Now, what they aren't is different types of personality. If you're old enough, you will remember there was a time when through the church came various tests you could do to work out what your spiritual gift was, by answering questions about, you know, the things you're good at and your personality. That's not spiritual gifts. There are lists in the Bible which are natural kinds of gifts, things like, you know, administration and helps and generosity. And God does empower our natural gifts in that way as well. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. You can't figure out these kinds of spiritual gifts by a personality test. listen to this list that we've just read in 1 Corinthians. We've got word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of those things require some kind of supernatural ability. None of them are things that we can do on our own. None of them are things that we can get from a personality test. So let me give you a couple of examples of how this supernatural ability might work. And there are quite a few examples in Scripture. Now, we're going to be talking primarily today about how these gifts work in the context of the church body amongst us, because that's the focus of Paul in 1 Corinthians. He's speaking this message to the church in Corinth, who had some issues with spiritual gifts. There are examples, and I'm going to share a couple of these as well, where the gifts are used outside the church, and that's another aspect of gifts, but we're not going to be focusing on that. But Jesus did give us some really good examples of what these spiritual gifts look like. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, when he was he'd just been baptized, he'd gone into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He came back and he was choosing his disciples. And there was a guy called Nathanael. And Nathanael wasn't sure about Jesus. And you can read about him in John, at the end of John chapter 1. And he's the one that said, when his brothers came to him and said, "Hey, we think we've found the Messiah. Come and listen to this Jesus guy." And it was Nathanael who said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He wasn't convinced. And then he comes and meets Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And that convinced Nathanael that he was dealing with the Messiah. It was a supernatural word of knowledge that Jesus got about where Nathanael was. I don't know if it was the day before or the, you know, morning before. But it was something that he couldn't have known in the natural. Similar kind of thing a few chapters on with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, where Jesus and his disciples, you might know the story quite well, where they come across this Samaritan woman the well, and Jesus starts talking to her, and he gets to this question about saying, "Go and get your husband," and she says, "I have no husband," and he says, "Well, you've answered rightly. you've had five husbands, and the one you're currently with is not your husband," and that was enough to convince the woman that this is the Messiah. I need to go and tell all of my people about him. I've encountered these kind of spiritual gifts in my own life as well. For those of you that don't know me, I've spent the last 27 years in the library industry in my work. And twice in my life, people have in a sideways kind of way, identified that. There was one time we're going back. I'm looking at my kids to see how old they are, because that helps me remember. Probably about 14 years ago, and before we were at Marion Vineyard, and Mel and I were at a church camp with some people from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. So we'd never met these people before. They're from a different country. And we certainly weren't, you know, walking in any kind of spiritual power at that point. I had no idea about teaching. And we're in this prayer meeting, and this guy from America just is in the middle of worship, I think, and he just goes, "And I was dreaming about Simon Woodley." I think they had the list of names, so they knew our names. He didn't get that by supernatural knowledge, but I was dreaming about Simon Woodley and I saw you opening the libraries of heaven. And I was like, oh, it had that word library in there, which immediately caught my attention. But I think it was also, you know, pointing to the future as well of being able to teach the word of God, which is something I'm growing into. And then, I don't know, maybe 8-10 years later after that, in Sydney, very similar kind of thing, catching up with an old friend and he at their church, and he said, oh, go and speak to these people, they'll prophesy over you. And this lady prophesied a very similar thing to me about libraries and teaching. And so my first point that I really want you to understand is that when we're talking about these spiritual gifts, they're empowered by God. They're empowered by the Spirit. They're not things that we can work up out of our own ability. We're very much dependent on God for anything to happen, whether that's a word of knowledge like the ones I've been describing to you, whether it's a healing. We obviously can't affect a healing by our own ability. A miracle of some kind, which could also be a healing, but it could be a financial miracle, like you might find a coin in a fish to pay your taxes, like Jesus did. But there's that element of it that it relies entirely on the power of God for it to happen. Now, the other thing that you might notice about this list of gifts is that apart from the gift of tongues, which is mentioned last, by the way, and that's important and deliberate, all of the gifts are outward looking. They're not gifts that, you know, give me a good feeling. They're gifts that I have to, you know, work with someone else for someone else's benefit. You know, giving a word of knowledge to someone else for their encouragement, or praying for someone else for healing or for a miracle in their life. They're, like I often like to say, they're not about me. It's about the other. It's an outward-focused giving thing. And the reason Paul is doing that and putting the gift of tongues last is that the Corinthians had a problem. We get the impression from the way Paul wrote that letter to the Corinthians that they were coming to church and they got so focused on their gift of tongues and their own spiritual ecstasy that became their focus. That was their reason for coming to church. I'm going to come and I'm going to speak in tongues and have this amazing spiritual experience. You know, and sometimes we do get caught up in that, don't we? There's a conference in town and we go because we want to get, you know, whacked by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, getting whacked is good. That can be good. But that's not meant to be our focus, right? If we jump forward a couple of chapters, in chapter 14, verse 26, Paul says this. He says, what then, brothers, or brothers and sisters, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Let all things be done for building up. It's for building up the church, for building up other people. Now, building up. It's a nice Christian phrase, isn't it? It kind of rolls off the tongue, building up the body. But what does that really mean? Does it just mean making people feel good? Well, let's back up a little bit and let's look at the big picture and then zoom back in. So if we go right back to the big picture of the gospel, the big picture of salvation, we remember that the The good news is that King Jesus has come. He's overcome the powers of darkness. He's dealt with all of our sins, and he now invites us to come and live in his kingdom. So what does his kingdom look like? Well, Jesus showed us when he was on earth. He went about and preached and demonstrated the kingdom of God. And it looks like no more sickness, no more anxiety. He washes away every tear. There is perfect joy and perfect peace. And so the gifts of the Spirit, you could say, are like a down payment so that we can experience God's kingdom here today. And so when we say building up the body, what we really mean is that we're helping people to experience God's kingdom. It means that we're partnering with God to help people experience God's goodness in a way that goes beyond natural blessing. And just notice again some of the things that are in this list of gifts. Most of them will result in some kind of healing. And I know Toe wants to press into that when we have some ministry time a bit later today. I think back to Jesus giving those words of knowledge. You know, there's some kind of healing involved. Nathaniel was skeptical, and Jesus eased his doubts. The woman at the well had, years of stuff to deal with there, and Jesus, brought healing to her and her community. Miracles will often result in healing, gifts of healings, and it is plural, gifts of healings. Is an obvious one. And the phrase gifts of healings, I think, is quite important because it isn't just one gift of healing. And we'll come to this in a little bit, but it speaks to the fact that it's not just, one big holy prophet guy with a gift of healing that can go around and heal people. It's the Spirit distributing gifts of healing for all his people. So what we learned from that, from all of that being in the gifts of the Spirit, is that God wants us to experience healing. Whether that's, emotional, whether that's in our heart, whether that's, our anxiety or in our body or even something else in our life. That's God's heart for us. So back to the Corinthian problem. So they're going to church and getting caught up in their own spiritual experience, and Paul is redirecting them. He does encourage them, yes, keep on speaking in tongues because you will build yourself up. Pursue the spiritual things, but there's more to it than your own ecstasy. There's all these other gifts that you can use to bless other people. And in fact, the greater path is love, right? If you know your scriptures, you know that the famous love passage. We heard it at a wedding yesterday. Angus and Alice were married yesterday, if you weren't aware. And 1 Corinthians 13 often gets spoken at weddings. That love chapter sits right in the middle of the gifts. That's the context of that. Paul is redirecting the Corinthians from their own ecstasy to love, to outward-focused gifts. Just a side note, though, about tongues. It doesn't mean that tongues is bad or shouldn't be exercised. As I mentioned, Paul still encouraged them in that. And I would encourage you, if you do have the gift of tongues, use it regularly. It says it builds you up. Imagine just for a moment, what would my life be like if I was continually built up and strengthened in my inner person? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So let me ask you that question again. What is it that you bring to church? Now, I do want to say a quick note that there is no condemnation in that. You know, sometimes we have a bad week and we just need to come and be loved on, and that's okay. But if we're doing that every week, maybe it's time for us to step out and see who we can bless. So, how do we get the gifts and who gets them? In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, "Pursue love," the outward, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." So who gets these gifts? Well, John Wimber coined the phrase, "Everybody gets to play," which is one of the core values of the Vineyard. And it's this idea from that comes out of the book of Joel and the book of Acts, which uses Joel, you know, where it says that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will have visions and your young men will have dreams. Or is it the other way around? I can't remember. Anyway, you get the idea. It's old and young. Sons and daughters, male and female, everybody's included. We can call that the democratization of the Spirit. Whereas once upon a time, the Holy Spirit was given to a few select prophets. Now the Spirit is poured out and available to everyone. Young, old, male, female, across ethnic lines, doesn't matter. The Spirit is available. We all get to play. We all get to experience, and we all should pursue the gifts. Because that's the other thing. When Paul says earnestly desire, that word is the word that we get zealous from. Listen to the definition of that word. It means to be or become marked by active interest, passion, and enthusiasm for something. It's active. We don't just wait for it. And it's not presented as an invitation. It's presented as a command. Paul is saying this is how the church should operate. We don't really like hearing "should" in today's culture, but Paul doesn't care about that. He says you should be pursuing these things. This is how my people are meant to work together. Is that your heart? Are you zealously pursuing God's gifts? If not, just ask God to help you. He knows your heart and he cares. It's a bit like the centurion. "Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief." God's desire is to build his people up. You know, he wants willing partners to release his people from the things that bind them. And if it's not you, then who will it be? I want to finish up with an example that is fairly recent from our own body. I'm not going to identify the person, but I have permission to share this story. So a couple of weeks ago, as a body, we were praying for Angus and Alice in the room back there before they were married. And You know, there was an open invitation for anybody to pray. And, you know, a few of us did. And after our sessions, somebody came up to my wife, Mel, and said, "How did you know to pray that? That was what God told me to pray, but I wasn't sure if I could or not, so I didn't do it. And God said to me, if you don't, I'll get someone else to do it." And what Mel prayed was exactly what this person was going to pray. You see, God's heart is to bless. He gives the words. He knows what we need to pray. He knows what people need for healing. If we don't do it, who gets someone else who will? But who gets the blessing? So, if I could get the worship team just to start coming up again. I'm going to pray in a minute. So let's pursue God's gift. His gifts are all good. Actually, I want to tell one more story. Because sometimes we read these gifts and we're not sure if we want them. You know, when I was a younger Christian reading through these lists, I remember actually praying, "God, give me these gifts, but don't give me the gift of tongues. I don't want that one." Because I thought it was weird and I was embarrassed about that one. And, you know, God changed my heart over time. Why am I sharing that story? It's okay to be where you're at, but just know that all God's gifts are good. So, my encouragement to you is to pursue. Now, as I said at the start, it's a really big topic. There's so much to explore in spiritual gifts. So a really good guide for these things is a guy called Jack Deere. I have a spare copy of his book, Why I'm Still Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. It's a second edition. It used to be Why I'm Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. He's a good guide because he came from a place where he didn't believe the spiritual gifts were still for today until God started showing up. So I'm going to leave this here. Do you want to pursue the gifts? Come and pursue it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all your good gifts. And we thank you that you are here and that you want to heal. So we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to stir amongst us. Lord, would you stir up our hearts and awaken desire. Show us all the good things you have for us. Yeah, we give this time to you, Jesus. Would you just do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, so feel free to stand. This next song invites the Holy Spirit. Maybe these words will be helpful, give words to